This is the Valley Outdoors show producer, Action Jack Caldwell here. Eric Olson and Don Cleaver will join us here in just a moment. Boy, we have a lot to get to on the show. We are going to be talking about pan fishing, harvest slot Mille Lacs, shooting tips, bird hunting tips, a marlin record, and of course, at the tail end of the show, we'll announce our fishing contest winners. All coming up for you on today's edition of the Valley Outdoors. Don and Eric are back to fire up the show in a moment.
Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Great to have you guys back with us. Don, we've got a big show today.
Yep. We're going to be talking a little bit later. Who's going fishing with us?
Who's going fishing? Going to announce the winners at the last end of the show today. We're going to announce the winners. And I'm pretty excited, Don. I got to tell you.
Yeah, it can't come soon enough. It's a great time. And I'm sure the folks going along are going to enjoy it, too.
No, they definitely will. I know that the last year's trip, everybody was super excited about going, and it really worked well for everybody. We had a lot of fun and caught some fish on top of it, so that really is what made it good. And today's a little conversation I wanted to have, Don, is, you know, last couple of weeks, I know, talked to a lot of buddies of mine. They've been out various lakes and rivers around the Midwest, and fishing at this time difficult, and certain bodies of water, obviously Green Bay is a little bit different, but you can get some tough bites going on right now. It's just kind of the dog days of summer. And one of the things that I found on the river that really is kind of refreshing and kind of fun is the fact that panfish, you may not be catching pike, you may not be catching walleye, you can catch catfish, but you can definitely catch pike, which really kind of fits in with whether you're young or old, doesn't matter. You can have a lot of fun catching panfish. And, you know, a lot of times it's you're not affected by the wind because you're going to be in off little out of the way spots. You're not going to be out in the middle of the lake. And it really kind of was fun when I went out. And you can either go with a float, which is obviously more fun for kids. Sure. Or if you're in a situation where there's timber where I was, the float helped a lot as far as really kind of figuring out what's the best depth. But if you're really looking at getting the going after some of those fish that are a little bit more lazy, maybe some of the bigger crappies, really look at doing without that bobber in those situations in the timber. You can really vary the presentation. And I'll tell you, Don, it was outstanding. Really had a good time. Have some minnows with you, have some worms. Those are the two things, and regular old angle worms, and they love it. Mm-hmm. My go-to is the white cubby jig. I got to tell you, that little white with a pink head, or red, believe it or not, with a black head, worked really quite well at the same time. So really kind of fun. Get the kids out. And if you're having a struggle of a day, go into some trees, find some deeper trees, drop those bobbers down there, put the Minn Kota on spot lock, and just have some fun with it. It really is it's a good time. I don't know if you've done that lately, Don.
Well, I haven't actually done it lately. I mean, I like a flu-flu, a little white with a red head, flu-flu.
Yep.
And that seems to work well. The I did talk to some friends of mine, and boy, they had a nice bag of large bluegills and some crappies mixed in with it as well, just in the last week. So,
yeah, it
same kind of scenario.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean your day is shot either, because I talked to a lot of buddies of mine. They call me, "What am I going to do?" I said, "Go find some trees, some laydowns, and just tie up to the tree if you want." And just put the bobbers down, and sure enough, they give me a call back at the end of the day. You saved the day, thank goodness. That's right. Awesome. So
I mean, even if you've ever been out, you know, off the end of your dock, you know, for those folks that have maybe a cabin or a fishing dock available to them, you can see the fish. Or if you look straight down, they're usually looking at you.
Well, and under any of those docks, it really gets to be a pretty neat. A pretty neat deal, because you can get bass, you can get crappie, you can get pike.
You just
don't know what you're gonna hit. exactly. So you just don't know what you're gonna get. So yeah, just make sure you get. Don't necessarily stick with one species if it's not working. Be open to change. That kind of difference in presentation. Play the game and bring home some fish and eat some. That's
right.
Fun. I like that. Real quickly. Harvesting slot for Mille Lacs has been relaxed for the fall walleye season, and fall walleye and the harvest slot beginning Thursday, September 1st. They announced that one fish limit will resume, and they will have one walleye 20 to 23 inches or one longer over 26 inches, and that's 6 a.m. to midnight. And the original walleye harvest was one fish 20 to 23 and one longer than 28. So they really changed it a fair amount. And that's a good thing. And of course, that was due to the lower catch rate, Don.
Sure.
There's a lot less walleye that they had caught this year. So it really reflected in that increased capability. Still only one fish, but one between that 20 to 22. And then of course the over 26 is a nice little addition to it.
Right.
So actually 20 to 23 inches, I apologize, 3-inch slot.
Right.
And they're going to keep on that and looking at it. And they said with the actual state angler catch rates and harvest significantly lower, they are adjusting the regulation to provide more opportunity without significant risk to long-term sustainability in the Mille Lacs walleye population. And other population or other regulations have not changed. That will stay the same. And walleye regulations for winter begins December 1st. So I think that's a good indication, Don, and I think we have to keep following that. I think we're going to see that.
Well, eventually that will have a huge impact on the fishery as time goes on. If they can maintain that, I think it'll get back to normal.
I hope so. I know we've had number of years, and it all depends on the take and what time of year the fish are being pulled. I know on the Mississippi River pool, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I believe it is, with the rate changed, you know, it's going to be a big help for them, and really looking forward to seeing it several years down the road.
Sure.
All that population. So, well, stay tuned, folks. We're going to be right back, and we've got some cool stories coming up, and we are going to be doing that drawing at the end of the show, so stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors. Welcome back, everybody. And as we always do, I encourage you guys to check us out on thevalley.com. And where else, Donald?
On Facebook, of course, The Valley Outdoors on Facebook.
Absolutely. That's where we're going to be. We'll have the winners announced. I think, are we going to announce the winners on Facebook, too, as well as the website? I don't know.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We'll do that next week. Once we're going to announce those people today, however, and they're going to be finding out what is, who is, where is, when is. It's all to... well, towards the end of the show, that's what happens. So
sure.
That's going to be good. Don, we talked a little bit last week over some dinner talking about what we wanted to start getting into. And of course, what first comes to mind for your thought process? Bird hunting?
Yeah, upland game hunting.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought I'd come up with some of these early season helpers to that I hadn't seen before, which I thought was pretty cool. It's called Summer Wing Shooting Workout Plan that anybody can do. And what's really kind of cool about this is it involves some pretty simple process or things that you can do at home to really get ready for the upland bird season, because there's a lot of different ways people shoot. As you've seen, Don, when we've gone hunting together, some don't shoot so well, but, you know, you've got instinctive shooting, two-eyed shooting, even the switch side shooting, so you can shoot dominant eye or not. But one of the things that there are several steps that they throw out there as a plan. Number one is buy a BB gun, Don. So it really comes down to, and you think you know where I'm going with this, learning instinctive shooting. Where you don't have to just be that one person that your eye is on the sight path and that's it. Shooting with both eyes open, being understanding where that's going to shoot. And it's kind of a neat intro to this. So a BB gun is cheap, fun, and a valuable teaching aid. A Red Ryder, believe it or not, costs about $30. And BBs cost about 0.002 cents per round. You like that, Don?
You can get five rounds for a penny.
Yeah, exactly. First, cut the sights off of your new gun, off your Red Ryder, and start with a stationary target of 5 yards. Pop can aim the gun, lay the forefinger of your front hand along the forend, and point it at the target. Instinctive shooting process. Do that, and hitting with your sightless gun is easy as long as you keep your eyes on the target and point with your finger. Instinctive shooting is all about learning to trust your eye-hand coordination. And you've seen that before, Don. I mean, we've both done that when you've done the five stand up at the Grand Lodge.
Yep.
And next step is work your way up to smaller objects like golf balls, then try flying targets, aluminum pie plates taped together so you can throw them like a frisbee, and you'll take the sightless BB gun and shoot one of them. And, it really works quite well, and believe it or not, you can actually start to shoot with a clay pigeon if you so choose to as well. So, kind of cool. Step two, shoot backyard clays. The groove in the gun, translate your BB gun training. If you don't have a portable trap, find someone who does, a very inexpensive hand thrower for $20 to $30, and they have improved to the point where you can toss a fairly target and then take turns lobbing clays for a friend that's safe to shoot a shotgun. Start gun if need to, meaning it's going to be at your shoulder. And that's one of the things people have to understand. In the field, you're not going to be walking around with the shotgun at your shoulder. So understanding to preface that with understanding how many ways and how many times you can get used to doing that in the house without shooting anything, just bringing the gun up. Don, I know you've done that before.
Oh, yes.
And, you get used to it. Of course, the other thing is important as you get closer to the season, make sure you're using the same type of a gun and vest you would be. Otherwise, you'll find in very short order, you're going to be hanging up on the, bringing the gun up. So hold the gun up at shoulder and look at the target, point your finger, same as you did with the BB gun. Start with a slow or gently quartering, not you want to be throwing it aside, and start with the person standing. And then have that person keep moving further off to one side or the other and follow that target with line of sight when you're looking at that target. You can start to shoot from a low gun position and work the mount to that point. So really kind of neat. And always move the target. And so you'll see the target moving, push the muzzle towards that target. Number three, shoot trap. Trap's an easy way and for better wing shooting, and it's also good to gain that eye-hand coordination. The goal is to shoot longer, unknown angles, and get your eyes off the gun, learning a way to get that done at that particular target, the clay, because they come hauling out of there, don't they, Don? I mean, they got a good head start.
Well, that's why it has to be just a natural reaction to it. You don't have time to aim.
Exactly. If you're serious about getting better at shooting, sooner or later you'll have to start shooting clays at gun club. Trap is the gateway to the shooting game. They're trap field over the place. We know that. Yep. In that program, you don't have to shoot a lot of trap. You could try the gun club three or four times and shoot 50 to 70 targets. You're better off going a few times and shooting a little than you're going once or twice and shooting a lot. It's all about repetition. And again, pre-mounted is the best way to start, getting used to that, and then of course looking at bringing it up. And instead of trying to chase, you've seen this before too, Don, so many times, to chase the target out of the trap house, see it first, read its angle, then move the gun to swing through it, and when the game bird flushes. So really kind of an important aspect to learning and getting used to shooting targets and pheasant hunting in general, but it really will get you better at that, and an important piece to the puzzle. Now, I'm going to jump into the next piece, which is after this, Don, and you'll be interested to see some of these tips. This is bird hunting tips from a master wing shooter's on this right after, because it kind of fits in, and this comes from Clay's Hall of Famer, Andy Duffy, and he's taught many people how to shoot, and of course on competition, but as well in the field. One of the notes that a lot of people don't think about, so number one, the tip is stop leading birds. Stop leading birds. So leading ahead of it. Clay pigeons, they start fast and slow down, he said. Birds start slow and speed up, but they never fly as fast as a clay target. So beginning the season after you've been clay target shooting and practicing, you're probably shooting in front of the bird. And you've seen that before, Don, haven't you? When you first get out of the field, you're like, oh boy, not good. First couple of shots, you're like, where did that come from?
You know, this kind of puzzles me because it's usually the tail feathers that are flying out.
Even the rare crossing shots you get, yep. They rarely require much forward allowance on it. But keep in mind, shooting a grouse at 30 yards in a sliver of daylight, you probably miss it. But grouse are a whole nother animal, shall we say, literally and figuratively. Plan the shot at the bird before you're in position to shoot. So you've seen that happen as well. A lot of pointing dog owners only pay attention when the dog's on point. I grew up hunting. This gentleman was hunting with springers. It taught him always to be alert in the woods. When your dog gets bird or your points, make a plan. Be ready for that shot. And so oftentimes people snap shoot, they're not ready. They don't put their feet correctly, and they don't make a good shot. And because the first shot is going to be the best opportunity for you to get a bird, really take the time, spend it wisely, and understand you're going to get that shot. You may get two, but the third shot basically is Hail Mary, and it's gone. So take the time, get that first one ready, and make sure you're set up on it. Make the right approach. Dogless hunters know the trick of stopping and making birds nervous, and dogs do it inadvertently. But pause on the way to following a birdie flusher, and that makes the birds flush wild. And when a dog goes on point, walk in a rhythmic, steady cadence to the bird. Don't stop until you're in a place where you can shoot. As you've seen that before, Don, too, and everybody yeah. stopped and looking around for a bird, then the bird gets crazy and then takes off, and off he goes.
Right.
No, look at the birds when you're shooting. Number four, clay instructors preach focus on the target, but what does that really mean? When you hunt quail, make sure they know you're looking at the rooster or a hen. So once you understand what you're looking at, make sure you focus on that with any game bird. And of course, when you're looking at the head of the bird, you're going to make a good shot. And making sure you do that is important. And stop caring about shooting birds. You don't have to worry about that. And when you finally get a chance to take a shot, often makes people miss and start swinging along the path. And at that long tail, don't make themselves get the gun to the other side of the bird, and shoot like a guru. And there are three stages of a hunter: novice, killer, and guru. Gurus in the last stage have shot a lot of birds, concerned with the passing knowledge along with the experience, and killing doesn't much matter to them anymore. You don't feel the pressure when it rushes. And that, to me, when I've hunted at the lodge, was just exactly it. When my eye comes up, you shoot back up and talk about fun. And people learn a lot about that as well. I think you've seen that, Don.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get a number of people that hunt in a particular wedge, if you're working a big slot of Milo, yep. And the bird gets up and that particular individual's there and they don't make the shot. Give them an opportunity and you're just prepping and getting ready to make that shot. Of course, it's probably going to be a longer shot. Hey, you can make it happen. So,
right.
Anyway, some good tips in the shotgunning world for upland game, and just make sure you check those out and really play that prior practice. And then when you get to the field, don't make the mistakes of trying to hurry that shot. So
practice, we got a little practice, time practice. Left.
What's that?
I say practice, practice, practice.
You would be correct.
Yep.
And it's perfect practice, not practice makes. If you're practicing incorrectly, you're not going to be that. You're not going to be in the game. But really focus on doing it correctly. So, real quick story, guys, before we take a break here and we go on to when the announce the winners here when we come back from the break. A man won $4.4 million, really, in a 77-pound white marlin, and the largest billfish tournament in Ocean City, Maryland, is where it's held. A 5-day competition was in. And concluded on the 12th, the world record award, $4.4 million, was shared by their team, and the billfisher was what it's called, and pretty unbelievable. They racked up 708 points, and it's a point value based on the categories that they're catching. What an amazing, amazing deal. As a family, they said, we're proud to have won the Marlin Open with our terrific crew, because it's a crew of people to do it. You're trying to win this tournament your whole life. They estimate the award could climb to $4.5 million as the organization tallies up money from the unwon swordfish category, which is new to the tournament. And another gentleman has been awarded $1.2 million for qualifying a 511-pound blue marlin caught from his boat. So there's a little money in that, guys. Is that crazy?
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? That'd be a nice payday for just going fishing.
Crazy. I'm not gonna complain about something like that if you had a tournament. So amazing.
No.
This year's white marlin world record purse beat out the 2022 $3.4 million prize and the 2021 white marlin's open $3.2 million prize. To have a walleye tournament if it was that much of a payout.
Okay, we gotta go.
Okay, we'll be right back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to have you guys back. And, of course, hopefully you're still hanging out and you want to hear... Ooh, the who will it be? Who is going to be going on the Fish With Us trip to Ashkenham Resort up in northern Minnesota? It's going to be fantastic, Don.
Yeah.
Are we going to, you want to kick off the segment with the winners?
Yes, I will. And just to, for those that are going to be called off here, it's going to be a 4-day fishing trip with Eric and myself and a couple of others. It includes all their lodging, their meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and walleye fishing with us. So, the winners are, drum roll. The first one is David Hallberg from Pennock, Minnesota, which I'm not even sure.
David Hallberg from Pennock, Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm not actually exactly sure where Pennock is. Our second winner is Richard Fleming from New Richland, Minnesota.
Perfect.
Our third winner is a gentleman by the name of Mark Cuthoff from Mankato, Minnesota. We're getting entries Perfect. From all over. And our last winner is from is Gary Van Ash from Pierre, South Dakota.
Awesome. We got a good stretch of people all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Most of these will be getting information from us here in the next week or so. So if you hear this, don't go into shock. We'll be in contact with you, and congratulations to those four gentlemen on winning. We had a lot of entries this year. Thanks to everybody that signed up, and we can wish you the best of luck. Hopefully we can do this again down the road. So the trip is September 17th to September 22nd, and it's a great time of the year to be up north.
It's going to be fun.
Yep, the trees are changing, and it's kind of fall fishing. It's really fun. Yep. So those are the winners.
Time. Well, Don, I am super excited about this deal. It's such a fun trip. People get educated. I get educated by people, which is, you know, the guests that come out, it's always just a fun part. And meeting new people as well. And a great fishery. I've been fishing there my whole life. And such a fun part up on Cab and Namekin. Yeah, what can you say, Don?
Yeah, well,
it's going to be fun.
You're telling us we're going to catch some fish then, if you've been there your whole life.
Yeah, we're going to catch some fish. I might tie you a special rig this year again for you, just for you, Don.
I know you won't.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for the winners for signing up, all of you for signing up. We are the Valley Outdoors. For Don, myself, Eric Olson, and for Jack, we are out of here.